biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Check 1, 2. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And it's an exciting time. So much is going on. First, let me introduce the crew as always. Simon Street, how are you doing over there?
Holla, holla, holla.
That's right. How are we doing, Matt Michaels?
I want to congratulate the world champion Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, man. I wish we could say that. What are you doing, Mr. King Lucky?
Can you dig it? Sucker.
Exactly. Man, so much going on in the news, and we're going to get right into it.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
1, 2, 3.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
AEW, we have to start there. The first question I'm just going to ask, and first, I'll tell you, we thank everyone for visiting the Facebook page, checked out some of our photos. I was there live in all of the craziness. It was about a good 400 to 500 people just all standing around a pool. I thought at some point somebody was going to get knocked in, but it seemed like that didn't happen.
How cold was it?
It was very cold.
Man, that sucks if they had got dropped in the pool.
It would have. It was somebody that threw a shirt, hoping that someone would catch it, and it went right into the middle of the pool. Mm. And eventually, it slowly moved its way to a point where somebody was able to pick it up, and they picked it up and drained the water off the shirt and put it on.
I thought Jericho, and Omega were going to end up in the pool.
Whoa, what that just hit the table there, that boner. Oh, my God.
Now, I got to go straight into our first question of the evening. Now that we know a little bit more about AEW, are you guys all in, or are you still needing a little more to jump on the bandwagon? Let me start with you, King Lucky. You all in now?
I've been all in since the beginning, and now I'm double or nothing.
Okay.
So, yes, I am sold.
What stood out? Say, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
That while there were some high spots for me in the ticket rally, I expected a little bit more. I expected some bigger names with the women.
Go ahead. Good. Tell us who you expected.
I didn't really expect anybody, but it would have been nice if there was some talent there that would have, you know, definitely helped out. I also expected them to set up something for Cody. Because you had all the other matches set.
Right.
But Cody doesn't have anything set for him.
So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think his plate's kind of full, though.
So are the Bucks.
So is Omega. They're all executives.
Omega's executive.
They're right. But they're all executives.
This is true. Brandy's an executive.
Yeah, you know.
I want to see her on the show.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of a miss, not having those two have anything set up for them.
Street, you all in, or you still need a little bit more?
No. It's quite the opposite. Even before the ticket rally, I hate calling it a ticket rally because it seemed like it was bigger than that. Ticket rally sounded like something like, you going to the county fair, we're going to the ticket rally.
Right.
It was a lot bigger than that, but you know, the event that happened at the MGM, even before then, I said I was good. I started doing my research, looking into some things I liked that they did. Presenting equal pay opportunities for female wrestlers is huge on my list. I think also, too, I think that a lot of people have made comparisons to TNT's product back in the Monday Night Wars. I can't speak today. Monday Night Wars with Nitro and WCW. I feel like it's not fair to compare AEW to that. The reason why I will tell you is because we have a monster machine called social media.
Right.
And they have been able to greatly utilize that to their advantage. And I think that revealing too much on the event that happened would have not been in their best interest. I think that there's still going to be more that they're going to dole out. I think that's just the major cards. Because they didn't say that's all of the cards, right?
No.
They didn't. My issue, however, is you're at February. You've got March, April, and then May. So where do you promote? There hasn't been anything else that was announced.
Right.
I think your social media is going to be the rest of it.
What do you think, Michael? You all in?
You got 3 months. You literally have 3 months. It's May 25th. It's the end of May. The fact of the matter is that, again, now, see, here's another thing.
Okay.
We're getting the start of AEW, but it's also not that AEW is starting right up, you know? So this is still essentially an all-in event, just like it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With that being said, then it's, you know, there's no rush. There's no rush. Everyone is so fucking impatient nowadays because they got to know everything and they think they know everything and blah, blah, blah.
It's true. Like,
no, it's got to be slowly revealed. They probably have ongoing talks with, you know, different people. It's a totally different process than anything that's been attempted before. So with that, you know, Nitro came out of the struggles of WCW, which was a company that was an NWA product.
Right.
You know, it had a lineage that had been on Turner for, you know, since the late 70s. So the fact of the matter is this is the first time that anything this new is being thrown out in a big spotlight. Mm-hmm. You know, ROH, when they started, very small. They've built themselves. Same thing with Impact. TNA, when they started, who the hell ever thought it was a good idea to charge $10 to watch a product? You know, but
yeah,
in this day and age, not only would people pay the $10 to stream, you know, a new startup, but they'll also demand then that, you know, every Japanese wrestler is on this card, plus every, you know, talent that is unsigned is on this card. Plus, oh my God, if we can, oh, look, oh, the Usos contract's up in 8 weeks. Watch out. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, be realistic. It's like, it takes time for things to fall into place and you need to start building blocks. And I think what we're trying to get here is an answer before the product is even sold. And that's why it was a ticket rally.
True.
To sell the tickets that are going on sale, by the way, when this drops tomorrow, they'll probably be on sale, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's more than likely, I would assume it would sell out. I believe this venue is just a little bit smaller in seats compared to what was in Chicago, right?
I think you're confused. Sold out was actually a WCW paper.
Well, I definitely think the venue is a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to bring up that Matt kind of covered is that huge rumor this week.
Okay.
About a free agent signing, and it was rumored that AEW is going after Randy Orton. What do you guys think about that?
Wow, the needle just moved.
I will say this. Any type of commotion in this exchange of what AEW is going to do next is benefiting everybody because it's creating a buzz,
right,
of people who are want to know. And as, you know, Michael's quite cleverly said, everybody's in a fucking rush. So I think at the end of the day, it's a great topic. Could it possibly happen? It could possibly happen. I mean, hey, WWE 2K20 could bring back custom tracks. To where, you know, anything's possible was what I'm trying to say. I think that if they can land a big fish like Randy Orton, that's going to be interesting because who does he face? Does he face Cody? Do you see what I'm saying? Who doesn't have an opponent? Who does he face? Right. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for us to sit here and say, we got a big fish that we're trying to land. But the biggest question is how do you utilize that fish? Are you going to cut it up into fillets? Are you going to go ahead and just put it on the grill and grill it? Mm-hmm. You going to eat it raw? I mean, what are we going to do with the big fish? That's where my perspective comes in on it. I think it'd be great to have him, but I don't see him leaving WWE. I think he's good.
What I want to know is how many of these rumors are being started by the talent themselves.
I that's what I would do. If I was talent, I'm putting some feelers out there. I'm like, hey, Lucky, you know, we cool, right? Now, I can't say because I'm under a WWE contract, but someone said that I might be done with my contract in about 8 weeks. Could you kind of cause some craziness? You know, maybe go talk to Raja.com real quick, put that out in the open. It helps them because now they're being talked about.
Right.
Now they're in the main spotlight. Like whether or not they're actively working or a job or whatnot, I think it's great.
I don't even think it's all too far off. They're not even going, hey, would you contact? I think it's very easily, hey, Meltzer.
Right.
Dave possibly will just run with it.
He will. He will.
I like you, Dave. I really like you.
Speaking of the venue, mm-hmm. they just released on Instagram the seating chart.
Okay.
For Double or Nothing.
Okay.
Which looks pretty epic. Pretty big setup.
Yeah. Well, it better be.
Tickets on sale tomorrow.
Tickets on sale tomorrow. I'm pretty sure it's going to sell out. And there's going to be some other big names that's going to be announced. Or, you know, it may not even be big names. But names that we are familiar with in the wrestling world that is like, wow, he was able to pull them and get them to be a part of it as well. It's going to be exciting either way.
Yeah. Now, you guys have heard the New Japan is offering up Toshiyoshi Matsuo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are fucking stupid. No. I just totally made that fucking name up.
I know you did. I know you did. That's why I was looking at you like, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going with it. But
I wasn't going to say that, though. But right. I did want to say that I think the one thing that we need to look at from a business standpoint that AEW, obviously with the Khan's money and their experience with running a company, maybe not a wrestling company, mm-hmm. but a company indeed, is I think that they're taking a good opportunity of what has been laid on the playing field today in wrestling. It used to be for a while you had the juggernaut, WWE, obviously, and you had smaller promotions. But I think, again, hearkening back to where we are with the convergence of social media and technology, you have more access. So you have more probability for people to be able to consume wrestling, whether it's, you know, back when we were teenagers, it was pretty much the TV, okay?
Right.
Maybe if you're lucky, a snippet on a computer, if you were lucky. Now you can
virtually. Well, I think Lucky had a computer before all of us, so I think it definitely had a snippet on it.
He probably did. But
oh,
I think,
yeah.
But I also think also, too, is they were very smart, and maybe it's just dumb luck or opportunity, or maybe somebody's really thinking about it. This is the perfect time. Perfect time, whether it was AEW or some other company, to come in and really take an opportunity and an advantage. Same, almost the same as what ROH has been able to do, what TNA has been able to survive, mm-hmm. or Impact has been able to survive, but put some money behind it and see what happens.
Who do they own in the NFL?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
How many Super Bowls do they have?
But they're still able to run.
How many Super Bowls do they have?
They have zero.
Okay.
Zero.
And how many Super Bowls do the Patriots have with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
A lot.
How many?
Six.
Great. Vince is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. Again, we've talked about this on this podcast before. They're not going in to compete with WWE.
Not according to all you smart marks out there.
Well, I'm not speaking to the smart marks, and that's why I said business-wise. What I am saying business-wise is you're not looking to compete with the big fish, but what you are looking to do is you're looking to try and get a niche mm-hmm. to where what residuals of people who may not be watching WWE or who want something more than just WWE, they're finding a way for them. What's a way that I can get our share? Because there's tons of people out there that consume wrestling.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think there's tons of people out there who love Hangman Page, and he's definitely worth $20 billion.
I would disagree with that. But let's go to our number two, because that actually segue into number two.
I guess so. My gosh.
Let's go right into that. So listen, with ROH and New Japan NWA organization strengthening their alliance, okay, and then AEW and AAA and OWE becoming partners, is that what it takes now to be more competitive in professional wrestling? And just to follow up on that, what do you think WWE think about it, if they're thinking anything at all? I know we kind of talked about it, so that's the follow-up, but what do you think about these alliances that's coming? Is that what it takes now to run a promotion?
Mandatory.
Okay.
I think so. There's a lot of talent out there, but AEW is getting some of that talent, but they also have to compete with ROH.
Mm-hmm.
ROH is huge. New Japan is huge. So by creating partnerships, it only makes sense. And the follow-up is, I don't think it's even on Vince's radar.
I can tell you a fact it's not on Vince's radar.
There's a new company out there?
Because there's been many companies out there. The only thing I think that separates AEW, particularly for this conversation to where others have tried, is the money aspect of the cons. Let's just be completely honest here.
Right.
If you don't have, so to speak, and I want to say factual, if you got a big sizable amount of money, seed money, capital, whatever you want to call it, to start a business,
mm-hmm.
you can then be allotted certain amount of a budget for your marketing, certain amount of budget to be able to promote your stuff, certain amount of budget to acquire great contacts. And that's why I think AEW right now is the hot ticket, because they got the money. And that's not to say that, like I said, Turner and them, what they tried to accomplish, didn't have some of the same aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think that a lot of things have changed since then. Big thing, social media. Social media is the most craziest economic enigma known to man, because mm-hmm. you're taking essentially two systems. You're taking what used to be commonplace, where you would have people like, let's say us four, we're the only people talking about wrestling all the time.
Right.
Okay. And that's all. It would only stay within a small eternal group. But then you have it to where when you promote it using social media, you're then able, almost in the sense of whether you're legit liaisons or not, you are a liaison. You are then talking to somebody that may know, I don't know, The Rock from a movie. Okay. Now you're saying, oh yeah, yeah, he watches wrestling. So, oh, he's a wrestler, isn't he? Yes. So now you're opening a broader audience. And that's what social media has been able to do.
Right.
And so that's why I think that it's curious to see what AEW is going to do next, because when you utilize social media in that fashion, you're able to create something new. There are a lot of people who are content creators, who are people who really do sway the tide of what is trending and what is not trending. And it just is what it is.
So do you not think that AEW was capable of just doing this by themselves without signing up with AAA and OWE?
I think they're capable of doing it, but I think they're smart enough to understand that if we still use, and I think I said this in a couple podcasts before, mm-hmm. they use the same formula as they did with All In. Mm-hmm. That right there, just my opinion, is a gold mine for an alternative thing to WWE. I'm going to say it again.
Right.
Alternative to WWE. You're not going against the big fish to immediately compete. And I think the cons know that. I think Cody knows that. I think a lot of people at AEW headquarters know that. But they know that there's tons of money on the table.
The only people who don't know that are the marks. The smart marks.
We know. That's it. I am not speaking to the smart marks.
Well, technically you kind of are.
I am notifying everybody. And if the smart marks want to pull out a pen and a pad and understand some basic street principles, they're more than welcome to do so.
What's your take on it? Michaels, I was going to ask you, but you want to go look?
Go lucky.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think they could have did it by themselves.
No,
when you look at the structure mm-hmm. of how many people you need mm-hmm. per division, tag teams.
Right.
I mean, they would have been spending a lot of money.
How many tag teams do you need?
I would easily go 6 to 10.
6 to 10.
Wow, that's a lot.
6 to 10. That's a hell of a lot. That's a whole
by
new
themselves.
Show.
Right. Well, yeah.
Women's wrestlers, how many would you give them?
Four.
Yeah, I mean, four teams. Lucky, where are you?
Oh, no, not tag teams. I'm talking about individual.
Oh, no, more than that.
Where are you? How long is this show? How long is their product? That's the you know, there's this this idea that, yeah, we need 10 tag teams and we need 12 women. And it's like, and then what's the next thing out of the mouth?
Well, they don't use bros that well.
Well, because they got 12 women. But if you base it around a simple 4 or 5 people to start things up, that's all you have to do, man. Look at NXT, right?
Yeah.
NXT, 1 hour of programming. They go 2 hours, you're going to start shooting the product in a foot.
Yeah.
That is a very valid point, because when you have more time on your hands, there's more margin for error. And I think that streamlining, like NXT tends to do, is they make it to where it captures your audience, which, let's be honest, let's look at the numbers. As we get older, the audience of our children is going to get older, but they're still going to have the same attention spans like bunny rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need, bam, bam, next segment, bam. I was watching NXT the other day, and it's crazy how they were talking about two different titles, talking about what Dream's going to do. Then they were talking about, you know, who the heck Adam Cole's going to go, and they just kept it going. So
I still think they need 2 hours.
NXT?
BTW.
And how many matches then are you going to have? Are you going to have a 3-hour takeover, 4-hour takeover?
They have a nice flow right now, but I do think they need. So, forgive me. Was the World Raiders on TV this week?
Mm.
And they're the champions.
Yeah.
So there what? You go. So what?
But again,
why do you
have to?
Well, no, this is a valid point. I mean, this is the same thing with the Brock Lesnar crap. It's like, why does the belt always have to be on TV? Did you grow up watching Hulk Hogan Mm-mm. on TV every single freaking Monday night? No, because it was, how do we draw it to the house show back then, right? And it became more special. The title was special. The feuds became special. And the problem is that when you have too much product, then not only are the fans always going to crap on everything, but it's also becoming, well, now so-and-so is not happy with their position on the card. So do you want AEW to sign all these guys to these contracts for 3-4 years, and then all of a sudden they're not being used, and what's going to happen? Oh, we want our release.
Hmm.
But we've already talked about that on another podcast. Ain't nobody getting released from WWE because it's a contract.
No. I'm talking about AEW.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right. Yeah, because if they're going to bring in all these people, and then you're not going to have enough content for them to do, or too much content, and then people are going to get upset in their positioning. You know, it's baby steps, little tiny baby steps, all right? You know, let's not, you know, grab the tit without kissing the neck.
Finally, I'm trying to figure out how to say that. I will say this, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason why we're all excited about AEW, and I think it's great, but we also need to think about time and as it builds. And I think they know that. I think they know they're stringing us along one thing at a time.
Right.
But I think also, too, one good phrase that I've always been told is sometimes people think the grass is greener on the other side, but sometimes what's on the other side might just be poison ivy. So time will tell if that's on the other side of that fence is greener pastures or poison ivy.
And please email us at vegasbadboys@gmail.com. And let us know if you'd rather wear a t-shirt that says moss is greener than the ivy on the other side, or a shirt that simply says, you got to kiss the neck before you grab the tit.
Well, we already know what they're going to pick based off of that one. I want my vote for the tit one. I don't even want the one I just said. Shit. That's not even a good question. You can still, please, contact us and let us know on all platforms. Impact, what are all our platforms?
Well, we have Facebook. In fact, you know, we could actually set up a poll on our Facebook. I'll set that up. I mean, yes. I don't know if I have that many characters to write all that, but I'll try to do it as I can and see what people vote the most. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on all of them. Vegas Bad Boys with a Z of podcasting, and you can find us. Let me ask you this. So I've received what Omega was offered by WWE and from AED. Supposedly, WWE offered him $3.25 million and AEW offered him $2.5
million. Wow.
Seemed like he decided to go with the lower amount. I'm just curious by y'all. What do you think about that?
First of all, I'd like to say that's a substantial amount of money. I don't even remember WWE offering that to Ethan Carter 1 and 2.
here's what I think he was looking at.
Okay.
One, his loyalty is to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he got an executive role.
Mm-hmm.
And three, there's hardly any travel involved in what they do.
Yeah.
And four, let's be real, probably has a lot of creative control over what his character looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think he took that money, because he'll make the money back in merchandising.
Looking like Dallas Page's son.
Yeah. Right. Well, I can agree with that. What do you think?
I mean...
Same thing?
No, I think it's total bullshit until you actually get the numbers from the actual person who signed the contract.
And you believe he'll just tell us that?
No. And that's why is this even, like, who cares if he turned down more from one company or the other? There was going to be a bigger bid on one side. I mean, that's just how business goes. So, you know, why are we trying to come up with these numbers? It's his business.
That is true.
You know, I you know, that's one of, again, that's one of those things that gets me, like, why the hell do we have to know that, oh, you know, so-and-so, and this goes for, you know, sports and everything now. Everything is about the contracts and the numbers and blah, 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 blah. And really, all that's doing is fueling people to fucking hate people more and shit on them more. And that's it. I mean, I don't care. As long as Kenny Omega goes out there in whatever, you know, whatever circumstance he's in, and performs, great.
Right.
Great. But if he's going out there and he's getting hurt and he can't perform, I don't care who it is who gave him $3 million, $5 million, $10 million. He's hurt. You know, and if he can't perform, he can't perform. You know, this is the same thing with substance abuse, right?
Right.
You can't go out there and you can't perform well. You know, look, Scott Hall had all the talent in the world. Who cares if he made $8 million a year? If he couldn't show up, if I couldn't root for him, then, you know what? You're stupid for signing him. So, I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, all this stuff that comes out that isn't necessarily factual, but is presumed as the truth, is the crap that gets me.
So, the 10 websites that I scroll through every day to get this information is not the right information? I scroll through a lot of wrestling websites to get this.
I will tell you that there seems to be two things missing in the social media stratosphere.
Okay.
That is, number one, common sense, and number two, research. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Okay, Lucky, go ahead.
All right, let's go with...
There's got to be, you know, even though it's a small fraction of truth, there's got to be something to it. So I believe people talk, right?
True.
He probably told somebody, hey, this was their offer. And to Matt's point, I don't think it necessarily matters, but I think there is some truth to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just fun for people. Because if you hear people do fantasy football, oh my gosh. No offense to anybody listening. If you do fantasy football, I find you very fascinating to be a fly on the wall and listen to you. I'm not into that. But they hear the stuff they talk about. Right. They're injured. Their contract might not be right. So that may affect how they're going to play. It's exciting for them. It makes no sense to me because I'm not into it.
Is but that the sound guy coming in?
the
sound guy.
Y'all need to talk to Rome. I'm getting sick and tired of this. We work too hard.
What the fuck is Rome?
What is fucking Cerrone?
The difference between something like fantasy football. Fantasy football, you are reacting to the actuality of the performance of your players that you have on your team. And you're trying to figure out what balance can get you competitive edge, right?
All
right.
Right, because you're actually engaged in a game. The difference between fantasy football and fantasy booking is that fantasy booking has no merit whatsoever. And it leads to people going and changing the mood of everything because I don't like the way they did that. In fantasy football, you can't get that.
Yeah, you got a point.
But in fantasy booking, and what people tend to do is, you know, put out those scenarios of, you know, well, I mean, Roman Reigns was just pushed on us so much, and I just don't like Roman Reigns. And what, he's got leukemia? Oh my God, he's such a great asset. He's such a great person. I miss Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Exactly.
How many of you guys miss Roman? That's the question. Roman Reigns?
I miss Roman Reigns.
Do you miss
Roman Reigns? I actually miss his presence. I even missed it so much that I was just very upset that, you know, I'm all behind the man. But her using Roman Reigns' entrance through the crowd on SmackDown really got my goat. No, I really do miss Roman.
Matt Michaels.
Do I miss Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
I think Roman Reigns is a spectacular in-ring performer. I think that people don't give him enough. Am I the biggest fan of his in terms of do I think his promo work has not been used to the best advantage of his abilities? Yeah, I think there are areas that I have problems with. Do I miss him? Not necessarily. I mean, you know what? I want to see him get healthy, but do I care? Do I think it's the health issue? This is where my problem goes. People second guessing the leukemia as it being a work.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's awful.
That's horrible.
Yep. Just because you can be on a movie set doesn't mean that you can be wrestling.
Right.
You're talking about the road, the travel, the wear down, the body that you put yourself through, the body, wear and tear. But on a movie set, yeah, it's long hours. Yeah, there might be some stunts. But you call cut, and then you sit in that nice trailer. And I've been there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just talking from experience and having done both, I'll tell you right now, he's not working it. And any of you fools out there who think that this is a work.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
It's awful.
Shame.
Impact.
Well,
miss Roman Reigns.
Of course. That's already a given.
Is there a tear in your eye?
It's not a tear.
Is it a tear?
But my alarm clock do wake up to da-dun, da-dun, da-dun.
There's so many things I'd like to say about that. I'm not going to say. Who set that alarm to that ringtone? I don't think it was you.
Whatever.
It was your wife.
All right, hey, let's get to our number three count topic for the night. Impact, which is coming to Vegas this weekend. I'm excited. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
At Sam's Town.
Tessa Blanchard.
Yes. We'll be there.
Scarlett.
6 p.m. Yes. Start time. So definitely, if you're in the Vegas area, come out.
Moose. Yeah. I forgot to mix it up since we said two bombshells. Yeah. Got to put Moose in there, too, because he's just sexy.
Right, right.
Follow ball.
So let me ask you, do you guys feel that Impact was smart for bringing back the old ECW talent, including Dreamer and Raven?
Rob Van Dam is coming.
That's right. And that's also,
has a documentary.
The main event for United We Stand would be Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus
the Lucha Brothers.
So what's your take on that? Do you think it's smart to bring some of these guys back? Or should we just kind of let it be?
To me, it's a last grab at fame because you have other organizations that are on the rise. And I think that using those guys for their name, it's good. But What's the lasting effect? Build new stars.
Let me say this. I agree, but let me read a comment off the site that I received this information from. This person said, if RVD showed up in WWE or now AEW, the boards on here would be marking out. But because it's Impact, people are going out of their way to bash it. Typical wink reaction, sadly. Just enjoy it for what it is and have a little fun for once. Or would you rather watch 3 hours of Raw? I don't think so. Now, of course, he's hating on Raw there, but does he make a good point there? I mean, if WWE was like, we've just signed RVD now to come back, would everyone be marking out a little bit more than the fact that Impact have just signed him?
Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
I'm an RVD fan.
Oh, you're saying that you would either way?
No, I'm saying that if it was in WWE.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
So like, why not
if
in
he
Impact?
Was in the Rumble.
Okay. You know, right. Then, you'd be excited.
Yeah, I'd be excited.
So why are you not excited about this?
I don't know. I guess the presentation.
The presentation of what?
The presentation, like the way he's coming back, Impact's presentation. I'm not that excited about the product.
How can you not? You're basically saying Impact's presentation's awful, but you don't watch the fucking show. So how do you even know what the presentation is?
I watch the show.
You watch the show like I have a vagina, okay? And that's because of the fact that you are the one who literally said, hey, guys, looks like Impact signing RVD. And then you didn't even realize that that match would have already been announced, like, 2 days before you posted the damn thing that said that, oh, looks like he's probably signing with Impact. We know because we watch Impact, unlike someone.
That's good. That and 205 are probably the two things that I love the most.
You know what? Hold on.
What's up?
All right. I'm going to call it right now. Lucky, King Lucky is going to eat his words. Because one day, Mustafa Ali is going to be up there in the stratosphere on SmackDown. And you're going to be all on it like, oh, yeah, I love Mustafa Ali.
Hey, he's moving.
Not realizing that he is literally still the heart and soul of 205.
I don't have a problem with 205 guys, right? I don't.
I just have a problem watching anything that isn't Raw and SmackDown.
Not even that, but... to me, I like Mustafa Ali. He's got a good presentation. Yes, he does.
Cultivated at 205 Live by you. Just say
it. All right, I'll watch the show, man.
All right. So anyways, thank you. My goodness.
So back to the original.
So getting back to the original question, mm-hmm. My take on it, the street take on it, is that I think it's a great avenue for Sabu.
Mm-hmm.
They already have Tommy on there.
Mm-hmm.
Having RVD, I mean, it's great because I will tell you this, given the capacity of matches they can have,
yeah,
it may be better for them to have an outright bloody-ass match on Impact, and those guys can still go hard versus WWE, and you don't know if they're going to get it or not.
Those guys can still go hard. They need Viagra just to wake up in the morning, man.
I didn't mean that hard. I meant in the sense.
No, but did you see what Raven looks like?
I
can go out here down the street on Craig Road, and I could see five people who look exactly like Raven who are living out of a freaking hardcore street,
Tent City.
Tent City, exactly.
All right. Let me expound on that.
Dreamer already expounded on that by eating 15 pizzas a day.
All I'm merely saying is this. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me where the hell they at. Again, my taste, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person, we like the nostalgia feel. Let's even harken back to Monday Night Raw. You had where for a second we thought that Kurt Angle was going to give a retirement speech. But we like this a part of us. And even you, Michaels, even you, like that nostalgia fact of seeing somebody still go. Now, not going to lie, it does get a little bit repetitive when you see them out here day in, day out. And it's like, okay,
what do you mean?
You don't have a nostalgia factor?
I have a nostalgia factor for what is, shall we say, people who belong in the ring still.
So RVD doesn't belong in the ring?
I don't know. I haven't seen RVD yet. But I do know that I've seen pictures of Sabu.
Mm-hmm. I saw him last year live. Go ahead. He was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
Fantastic.
What did he do?
He was in a ring. He had a match at Cauliflower Alley last year, and he looked amazing. I mean, for what he was and where he's at, realistically, he looked amazing.
See, now this is, but see that now you're being more reasonable.
Well, you have to be reasonable. You can't.
It's but subjective.
But you just said they can still go. I'm sorry.
For their age. Okay, so time out.
They can't still
go. You want to dissect what I said? All right, then let me take your dissection of what I said. When I mean go hard, given the age that they're at and being able to go at the age of where they're at, I would say that's going pretty damn hard. Even Kurt Angle on Monday, for the age that he's at and where he's at right now, that is good. Everybody has a bar. Not everybody's going to be the same bar. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see RVD now. I agree with you. I don't know what we'll see afterwards, and then I may have a different take. It may or may not meet my expectations, but I'll be honest with you. I'm excited to see these guys go at it. We haven't seen RVD in how long? I'll wait. Okay, so does that not get you excited? At least a little bit? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're not going to be 10.
You know what? I'm as excited as...
Please don't say you have a vagina again. Please.
I'm as excited as the fact that you'll be buying the pay-per-view.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that was really slick there. How did Jeff Jarrett look this week? Jarrett came back.
Well, we're going to jump on Raw, but just to finish
Jeff
up...
Jeff Jarrett looked... He looked a lot better this week than he did 2 weeks ago when he came out in the old JJ gear.
He was a little harder this week.
So just before we jump on the TV segments, Michaels, I'm going to let you finish off. So do you think it's smart for bringing these guys back from ECW?
I think it's an attention getter. I think that it will get people talking. However, you're putting him in against... two guys who already are getting attention for the fact that you're jumping to AEW. And, you know, these guys are really quick, really young, do a lot of high-flying moves. RVD keeps himself in shape, should be able to keep up with them. Will Sabu be able to? Hopefully. Hopefully, he doesn't get injured.
I mean, against the Lucha Brothers, this is going to be...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean...
I'm excited to watch.
It's going to be exciting to watch, you know, but it's like, I kind of think I know how this is going to go.
But also, again, and that is a good question, are you $29.95 excited?
Mm. Well, you know what?
That's a no for me, dog.
You know what? I will be fair and say something. The fact that you said that harkens back to a situation where me and Lucky were not too happy about something that was doled out at a certain big event, and we said the same comment.
Oh my God.
I didn't pay X amount of money.
Go ahead.
X amount of money to see that. Although that would have been okay, it wasn't, let's just call it $29.99. Even though that wasn't right.
I hated Nicholas winning the tag team belts at WrestleMania. It destroyed my $3,000 trip.
Well, damn, I didn't say $3,000 trip, but it definitely was a thorn in my ass. But I see now what you're saying, because
that comes down to it. And like I've said with Nicholas, I was never disappointed in the fact that they did it, but the crowd was already at a burnout point by the time they did something like that,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas here, Impact's going to have a shot because right now they've got a solid roster. They've got a lot of good momentum going storytelling-wise. And the thing is, when you put this on as what I'm assuming right now is your main event, will the hype live up to the excitement? And, again, WrestleMania is a different animal, too, than an Impact pay-per-view. Because, you know, you're going to – well – also, you know, you guys are stupid enough to put out the money to go $3,000 to go to New Orleans for the whole experience. I, for $9.99,
nice,
got the comfort of my own home. Didn't have to worry about it. In fact, I could make nachos and still watch the action.
That's great. Thank you for making us feel so great about our $3,000 venture. What I will say to you with that, Michaels, is you said something that I wanted to point out that I think we didn't get a chance to talk about with this segment with regards to ECW alums coming in. I think it's more the question of where you put them. Because when you're thinking about a show, you're thinking about a pace, and it's a perfect example Michaels gave. I think that maybe if the Nicholas thing, even though we keep using it as an example, I think if they had to put it early on in the show, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for King Lucky. Right. I wouldn't have been as upset.
Right.
I would have still been like, man. But I wouldn't have been as upset. I think it's because of where it was. It was pretty much placed at second main card, right? If I remember correct, I could be wrong.
It was right before the main event.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I felt that was added to
it. Plus, don't forget, too, the main event, it was Roman versus Brock,
yeah.
Which none of you people in the audience wanted to see.
Well, my reasons for not wanting to see it again, because I've seen it before.
I even mentioned that, and Lucky just yawned.
I yawned because I'm tired of Brock winning.
Roman
should have went over at Mania.
And I was tired because I've seen it before. But that's how I am across the board with a lot. If I've seen it too many times and they don't add a new dimension to it. That's just my personal preference. I do not account for everybody. But I will tell you that where are they going to put RVD when he comes in? Where they put it, I think, is going to be the proof in the pudding of how we consume it and how we rate it.
I'll give you a good example, though, with Impact. And about 4 weeks ago, they had a segment with Eli Drake in the Nut House, and he came across Raven.
Yes, I remember that.
No,
yeah.
Raven appeared.
I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However you want to put it. But, you know, Raven was great in that capacity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When Raven came out in the ring, it was an oh shit moment for the crowd. Yeah. It was because they didn't expect that.
Right.
But at the same time, it didn't add anything or any elevation to what was going on. And so what it comes down to simply with anything is that the good writing, the good booking,
right,
the good through line,
mm-hmm,
the good momentum, that as long as the talent can still pull off a match that tells the story, that's where you're hitting gold. If the talent is just being used to be a marquee face,
mm-hmm,
and to generate buzz, that's good because you'll get a little buzz generated, but you're going to get the backlash and you're going to see exactly what we got from that quote there from the website.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's the game.
Hey, you roll the dice, you see what you come up with.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Oh, boy. You was itching for that one, weren't you?
All right, we're going to go right into our TV segment of the week. A lot of TV. Yeah. On Raw, SmackDown, 205, and NXT, and so on and so on.
Why don't you just R-O-H name all the programs out there?
I'm about to. Give me a second. I got 20 more. Okay.
20 more?
20 more. I'm pretty sure they know that we're not talking about actual television. We're talking about wrestling shows. I hope.
Let me ask you a question. Who's running this? Matt Michaels.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Matt Sorry, Michaels. You're right. You're absolutely right. Hey,
Impact, I'm going to need you to put that back in your pants and get back to what we're supposed to do.
He just said he just tuck it in my vagina.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, man, you left yourself open for that one.
My God.
I guess we're going to find out if Impact really can go hard.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so Becky Lynch.
And then we're going to go right into talking about the man. Oh, that's horrible.
Becky Lynch starts off pretty much both segments, slaps both executives, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H. What y'all think about that?
I think Lucky knows where it's going already.
I sure do.
Give us your Mark presentation.
All right, fantasy booking. Here you go.
Okay.
Lower the lights.
Let's do it.
Good spot to go down.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Fantasy booking. This is long-term booking.
Okay.
Okay. I'm putting the carriage before the horses.
Okay.
But I see a matchup down the road, Becky Lynch and Rock versus Stephanie and Triple H. It'll either be
where would the Rock come in at?
I'll tell you why, because they're going to gang up on
her. What's the schedule?
And the Rock is going to do the run-in. But I think it'll happen to either SummerSlam, Toronto, or next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know what?
You agree with that?
I didn't say agree. God damn.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Man, you know, Street can speak for himself.
Okay, go ahead, Street.
Now, I will say that's
crazy booking. But go ahead.
In the words of Velveteen Dream, that's cute. It's very cute. But what I will say, there is, I hope that it happens, because that would be great. That's must-see television in my perspective.
That's money.
Oh, man, you said it with a deep guttural voice. But I will tell you this. I was super excited that they continued on the storyline of Becky Lynch, the man. Raw started off great. I think a lot of people may have also compared Becky Lynch as the, I don't like saying the new Stone Cold, but Stone Cold-ish-esque. And this kind of went in with that presentation. And in the following to go into SmackDown, the wordplay that I was so proud of was more with Triple H and how Becky received it with nonverbal actions before the slap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was gold. You talk about getting hard. The street pavement was hard that night. Because I was just excited just because it was just blended perfectly. And it sets up so many avenues, as what you were saying, Lucky. If it could go any way, I think that. But my question that I do have is Becky really injured? And not big time injured, but injured to the point to where they want to try and maybe give a suspension to get her off of TV all the time or what? I mean, what's the deal? I was just curious.
So here, 2 points. One is, new report out.
Okay.
From my favorite site, which I'm not going to say who.
Hold on. Just breathe.
I can't wait till we start getting advertisements.
Breathe into the mic.
Yeah. WWE considering a Becky Lynch versus Stephanie McMahon match at SummerSlam. Long-term booking. I'm from the old school.
Okay.
Long-term storytelling. So they're planting seeds. Right now.
Right.
That's why I think if you look at Raw, she attacked Stephanie. SmackDown, Triple H comes out. So they're planting seeds. It's going to happen.
I guess that can happen.
But they're also talking about the knee, too, because in SmackDown, they clearly showed a replay. And I'm sorry, Michaels, I'm going to shut the hell up so you can say what you got to say. They showed the replay of Stephanie in the corner kicking her leg out, and they repeatedly kept saying it. In self-defense, she kicked the injured knee of Becky Lynch in self-defense. I'm wondering if you're going to say that repeated amount of times. Obviously, if you have Vince McMahon in your ear, there's a purpose behind it. So I'm just curious as to, do they want to try and get her off TV? Because maybe she does have, maybe not a major injury, but an injury enough that maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I'm just curious, because why would you repeat something like that?
Man, if I didn't know you right now, I would be like, if I thought you had money, I'd be like, hey, I got this condo down in Bermuda in this triangle area that I would gladly sell you. Holy work, brother. Oh, my God.
Hey,
beachfront property.
I wanted somebody to say something. Is that not what our job is? To pose the question and somebody answered it. If I said it, somebody else was already thinking about it.
Man, sure. Impact, can you help me out here? Because on one hand, I've got Fantasy Booker 101. And the other hand, I've got Mr.
Street I still gullible. Think it's all weird, real to me. Well,
I'm just merely saying whether it's real or not. Just to go with what you were saying, I'm just saying, like, what presentation are they trying to present to us? Do you see what I'm saying? Because they wouldn't said it twice. If they only said it once, then I would give a shit.
They wouldn't have said it twice. Have you ever watched wrestling?
I do. I'm posing a goddamn question. Yeah. I want a goddamn answer.
Yeah, and my goddamn answer is, it's a work, brother.
Okay, explain why you think it's a work.
Because it's wrestling.
Okay, but where do you think the work's going into? Lucky already kind of said a little bit. I'm trying to connect the dots. Lucky saying,
have you all lost your mind? We still haven't had the Ronda Rousey match. They have to give her an underdog feel.
I get that. I'm just asking.
No, you don't. You think her leg is actually broken?
I didn't say it was actually broken. I just said, why would they say it twice?
Oh, my God.
Damn, Shanti.
God
dang. Woo. Man. All I'm merely saying is I'm just pointing out what was presented on Raw and SmackDown.
You're like a Michael Cole. Hey, it's the obvious.
Hey, well, he's making some obviously good paychecks. That might be pretty good to template that shit.
Okay, Coachman.
Oh, see, now that's a low blow, man. That's a goddamn. Just, you know, put me on special assignment indefinitely.
Wait. So he really didn't have something with his vocal cords? I mean, they said it twice.
Well, I don't know.
I totally fucking that was never said.
So what else you guys about the show? Go ahead, Luck. You probably have a list. What stood out during both shows that caught your interest?
Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
Oh, here we go again.
And yes, I still think it's a work.
You think it's really a work?
But they just announced.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose versus Nia Jax. So I'd like to hear everybody's thoughts on that. So, well, Michaels, let's go.
Okay. Yeah, start with you, please.
I have no problem with it.
Okay.
I have no problem at all. I think that Nia is a very credible ring performer. I think that there are probably whispers right now, especially with the success of Becky and the way things are kind of angling to the equality of men and women, that the storytelling of wrestling is about to change. And I know a lot of people who are old school hate the idea of intergender wrestling because it makes the male wrestlers look weak. And that's been a problem for a long time. But now Nia is someone who is believable in that aspect. The one thing that Nia has a little bit of problem with, and I think it's a nervous give, is that she smiles too much.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I've got no problems with it. And I think that as long as Dean is under contract and he's willing to play ball, I don't think that anything can actually hurt his reputation or personality or character.
Street.
You know what? To be honest with you, I'm actually excited to see what direction they take this in. I have a vision that I'd like to see. I don't know if they're going to go in that, but it's along what Michaels is saying too, is you're seeing a pattern in the WWE of solidifying women's wrestling, which I've said before, very passionately about as a fan. I have a young daughter that we have conversations about her athletic ability, and you know, she said, I wouldn't mind ever being a wrestler. I'd like to know that down the future, if she decided to go that avenue, that she'd be a part of a business that was different than how the business perceived women's wrestling back in the day. Not that it was horrible, but I think it became complacent at a certain point. I think Nia is more than capable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is some consistency issues that I have personally with some of the smiling too much. I would like to see her, if she's still going to continue to smile, maybe be more of, I don't know, I hate to use this word, really just be a bitch. Like condescending smile. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, somebody, you ain't going to do shit.
It's called being a heel.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, in the sense of, if she's able to have that more heel capacity, I think it'll work out very well. Dean Ambrose, I don't think it's a work. I think that he's doing the best with what he has. I think time will tell. It just is what it is. I think that he, if any ball he's playing, is sticking to his contract. Yep. And time will tell with facts if he's going to stay, go, or not. I commend him if that is the case and he wants out, but he's still playing ball. Good.
Well,
for
I
you.
Have an inside source that says he's going to be with SFW.
Wow. That's quite
an He wants to stay local. He wants to be around Vegas a little bit more. And then him and D'Lo go back a long way. And, I got it from Disco. I mean,
Is that the name of your source?
No.
No, I see where you're getting at. All I'm merely saying is regardless of what the fact is, I don't really get big on the whole rumor thing. I think it's entertaining, but I don't go on it too much. But if that's the case, good for him for just still doing his job, still doing what your contract is requiring you to do.
Yeah. Impact.
Well, not to, prolong the conversation. I agree with what they were saying. I think it's great to have that that match. And to me, that pretty much says the fact that they're having this angle, to me, seems like it's that Dean is pretty much going away. I can't see what would be the purpose of this, of him sticking around if they're going to put him in the match. Because this, where would this go? You know.
Well, it could show that Dean could beat, you know, a comparable, you know, woman. Which,
yeah. Did you just say comparable woman?
Yeah. Ooh. Comparable in terms of talents.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is any.
That's what I meant.
I know you guys hit on Double J earlier. Was anyone really, has anyone been excited since he's been back? I mean,
I'm excited that he's back. I mean, he's going to be in a backstage role.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for the business.
Yeah. He's going to be. We can speed that up, guys. We can definitely speed that up.
Because he's already a role.
Not only.
He's already been a role.
He's a double role. He's a double role, baby.
Besides the double roles. He's a role.
But not only are we getting Double J, but we're getting Road Dogg. Who
I know, right?
Right. Who actually went into the ring and pointed out the fact that he was fatter than he's ever been.
Right.
Which I give him credit for because yeah. I think he realizes, you know, people are looking at us like, what are these old fat men doing in the middle of this ring? And that's, again, the whole idea of the nostalgia. Nostalgia's good, but it's good for a sense of, hey, we saw it for, you know, 30 seconds in the Royal Rumble, you know, that interaction. Great. We don't have to see it over and over in these guys' cases.
I agree. How are you using them?
Big match coming out of Raw this week. Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott at Elimination Chamber. What do we think?
I will say that I'm happy that Ruby is getting some shine, but I will say it. At this point, let's just be completely honest. Unless we get the hugest curveball in the history of WWE booking and Ruby Riott takes the title, how likely is that going to happen? That's nothing against Ruby Riott. I'm just saying, like, it's pretty much the match is booked. It comes to me, my mind, what's more entertaining? And that's where I say Ruby Riott is a good shoe-in because I think it's somebody that, unless you watched NXT when she was there, or some of her indie career, you see she's very capable, very talented. And I'd like to see more of her. So I hope it leads to seeing more of Ruby Riott.
Go ahead, Luck. You're asking questions, but you ain't answering
them. Yeah. What are you, pipers and
definitely,
shit?
I definitely think there's nobody beating Ronda before Mania, but I think that Ruby has great talent. She's been showcased very well. She's beat some of the top stars. And I think it's a good look for her. For her to be headlining the pay-per-view with Ronda.
I think it's really good, too. I think it also, it's a great opportunity to fill in a hole because you have, you know, the rest of the Wyatt squad. You know, it's going to be in to determine the women's tag team match. So I think it's good to kind of see what she's going to be doing too. But I like that promo that she said prior to that. There's a time and a place for it. And I really like when people use that rhetoric. It kind of sets up what her thought process is. And it also established how strong the Riott squad is, which I think was really good too. The only one thing when she said that I really thought of was the Straight Edge Society. And when Punk had that group and he was talking about how the bond that they had, I don't know, just immediately cued in, recalled that into my mind when I heard that during the segment.
You know, just to switch over to the SmackDown show, you know what I was, first off, we all loving the new Daniel Bryan as a heel. But shout out to that fan. I don't know if y'all caught it. The fan who actually had made his own belt look just like Daniel's.
Yeah, you can make it at home.
Apparently you can. You just get a couple of cereal boxes and you got it. But it looked just like it. I mean, it had all strings and stuff, but
no, the hemp. That's all hemp, sir. That's hemp, not strings.
Well, I don't know if the fan had if he had hemp, but
I don't.
But I just thought that was great creativity, and of course the cameras picked it up. But the
great creativity. The guy just made a copy of a belt.
Well, he did, but you don't see anyone else who
bring championship belts
who makes belts from scratch like this particular fan did.
Well, that's because there's been no reason to. This belt was just introduced.
So I think what's what I let me allow myself to speak for Matt Michaels.
Sure,
what
go ahead.
He is trying to say is that you are being a Michael Cool again, stating an obvious, because there obviously has not been a belt on WWE shop yet for the new Daniel Bryan eco-friendly belt. So of course there would be a fan. Of course there would be someone who would make their own belt.
Sure, there's always, look.
I totally know what Graves feels like now.
Whatever. There's also new tag teams, women belt, and I don't see anyone that went out trying to design it on its own.
Well, Lucky's working on his belt right now because he did say in a couple podcasts he would rather wear the women's tag team belts than to wear a 205 shirt.
That's right.
Just Mella remember, the streets money. Never forget.
And do you guys are you guys liking the way this has turned out with the women's tag teams battles right now?
Yeah, I like the new tag team that was formed this week with Mella.
Fabulous
and
Glow.
Yeah, Fabulous Glow.
Yeah, I think it's a good tag team.
Gotcha.
Mella, I'm such a huge fan of Mella.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they give her, I'm impressed with her work. You see her transition from so many different things.
Yeah.
And so for her, I think she's got that underdog mentality where she's just scrappy as all get out, and she always finds a way to make the most out of what they give her.
I agree.
What capacity would that be called, Michaels?
Stealing other people's gimmicks.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. We're going to start calling Matt the Dictionary Michaels.
The last thing I'll mention, and then if you guys have anything else you want to say, then we'll say it and we'll get out. We talked about Mustafa Ali earlier. Man, I thought that was a really good match against Randy Orton. What did you guys think about that? I mean, you would have thought Ali has been fighting Orton like this for a while. I mean, it was a really good match.
He got a pretty good shiner from it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. True. I mean, big things is going to come. I mean, from someone that comes from 205 over into the league.
Where did it come from?
It was 205.
Where did it come from again?
Definitely 205.
So Lucky, Mustafa Ali, did you know he came from 205 Live?
I did. I'm impressed.
I mean, he's getting a good push, right?
I am impressed.
And he's doing well.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
I mean,
the question isn't really about Mustafa Ali. The bigger question is, will Randy Orton be able to give Kenny Omega a black eye?
Yeah, that is the question.
That's a
love it.
All right, anything else y'all want to mention about the show before we get up out?
Yes. Hey, Ring of Honor, ladies and gentlemen, please, please, please make your way to Sam's Town March 15th and 16th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ring of Honor, you just cannot beat it for the price of admission.
That's true.
It's an amazing show, and I'll tell you right now, what they've got going on is some of the best young talent along with some really great established talent. So if you don't watch, definitely start watching. And if you're in the Vegas area, get your tickets now because it will sell out.
Look, we go to all these shows. So, you know, shoot us an email, by the way. Let us know you'll be there. And, hey, we will love to meet up after you. And thank you for listening to our podcast. You know, we continue to want to entertain you as we can. What do you think, Simon, as we get out of here?
I would just, you know, like I said, a lot of big things are happening in the month of February, obviously, especially for Vegas. You know, I'm just super excited for Vegas to be able to, you know, be the place.
Yeah, where it's like ROH becoming the wrestling town. It's awesome.
It's a dream come true for me, actually. I've always wanted since. I've been living in Vegas since 1997, and the wrestling community is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're getting more people looking at us as, you know, a potential spot to possibly grow. So keep it up. Always behind it.
If you're in Vegas, too, if you check out Ring of Honor, if you check out Impact this weekend, if you check out Double or Nothing in May 25th, also, please check out the fabulous Caesar's Palace Buffet. Oh, my goodness.
That is true.
I just had it last night, and I could tell you right now, there ain't nothing better for the buck.
That's true. What would you want to say, man? King Lucky, as we get out.
It is true. Omega is DDP's son. I was the first one to draw the comparison, but I think it is true. I'd love to see that match, by the way.
Okay. No doubt. Well, listen, we thank everyone for listening to us tonight on another edition. Don't forget, those tickets for AEW do come out today, because that's when we're going to drop the podcast. So hopefully you get your ticket, and if not, oh, well, Double or Nothing to be out during Memorial Day weekend, MGM Grand.
And remember, too, it was just announced, StarCast is back.
Yes.
So they will be doing StarCast at the MGM World. Location still really kind of being, I think, ironed out, but it will coincide with the Double or Nothing event. So keep your eyes peeled for more information on StarCast coming up in the next few weeks.
Pretty All big right. names announced, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was Sean Mooney.
No, it's not going to happen.
It is. I'm not shitting you.
I'm Sean, looking it up right now.
Sean Mooney is the one of the hosts of the StarCast weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's looking you up. He's fact-checking you right now.
Fact-check all the fuck he wants.
First of all, I'm fact-checking, not fact-checking.
You can do that all you want, too.
You know what? I'm done.
All right, y'all. Thanks again. Email us, VegasBadBoys@podcasting.com, and you can also use those for our social media sites. Until then, we out.
For all of our listeners, in 2 weeks, we will have one half of the tag team Crime Time, JTG, interviewing with us in 2 weeks. Don't forget, in 2 weeks, you get a chance to find out what's up with JTG, one half of the tag team Crime Time, right here on Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.